The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
On Monday's show, I described a situation that I found in St. Vincent's A&E in Dublin when my daughter, who had fallen after the Westlife concert in the Aviva Stadium and was knocked unconscious for several minutes, was taken by ambulance to that hospital. Now, the Aviva paramedics were great, the ambulance crew was great, but the situation for people overnighting in chairs in A&E was utterly unacceptable. We discussed on Monday what is going wrong and what has been going wrong in the country's A&Es from a time long before COVID fatigue could be blamed. Now, some of the comments that came in had the exact same experience 4 years ago with St. Vincent's. My husband was in A&E on a trolley for over 24 hours with heart symptoms. I'm an ex-nurse and the conditions in nursing care appalling. No pillows or bed covers for the trolley. We watched an old lady have her meals left beside her trolley and taken away untouched. And when I returned the following morning, that woman looked like she had gone from being able to move around to unconsciousness on her trolley. I also witnessed a nurse walk away from a woman who was having trouble getting on her trolley due to a hip replacement without offering any assistance. I left nursing 20 years ago because the system was broken and it remains broken today. From Mary, I had an almost identical experience in UCC on Mother's Day. I was dismissed at the end of the day with just a few scratches to keep on the paracetamol, I was told. I fell backwards down concrete steps at the beach, blood everywhere, dozy for a good while. The ambulance was great. Got a CT scan after waiting in shock. In a corridor with a door left open, left for 8 hours. When the bandage was eventually removed, I was dismissed. It wasn't cleaned, the wound? No, not at all. And my head is still sore and bumpy. It was not stitched at the time. Good morning. I work as a frontline nurse. I feel GPs have to take more responsibility for these high volumes of patients. GPs are not seeing their patients anymore and will give them maybe an appointment in weeks' time, which means they'll go to A&E instead. This is not acceptable. Well, joining me now are Con and Martina, who have personal experiences of drawn-out waiting times when in need of urgent treatment. Good morning, Con.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Martina.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, Con, let's start with you. You can tell me about your daughter's experience and indeed your own.
Very good. On Thursday the 10th of February 2022, my daughter Aoife had a stroke around 6 p.m. Her speech became slurred and one side of her face drooped. Her husband rang 999 for an ambulance straight away. At 6:30 p.m., volunteer first responders arrived.
Now, tell me about the volunteer first responders. Are they employed? Are they doing it for nothing? Or, where do they come from?
My daughter lives in Killarney, and they came from the town of Killarney. They're volunteers, and they don't get paid, and they don't get expenses for their petrol money.
So, when they arrived, what were they able to do?
What they did was they took her blood pressure and comforted her to wait the arrival for an ambulance.
So, the stroke happened at 6 o'clock. They arrived at 6:30. Now, I'm aware of the FAST protocol. You know, if you see facial drooping, if there's a weakness in the arms, if there are speech difficulties, and of course, the last thing, the T in FAST is time. So you got some response, but from volunteers at 6:30 who could comfort her, take her blood pressure. When did the paramedics in the ambulance arrive?
Well, Pat, we got a phone call at 6:30. We were in Limerick and we arrived down to Killarney at 8:30 and no ambulance had arrived. The paramedics came at around 8:50. And they came from Kinmare, they said they were just after starting work. And they treated her, they were excellent. And they took her to Tralee University Hospital, where she was put on a trolley in a bay in A&E. And the usual apps were done, blood pressure, temperature, etc. Now, on Friday morning, Aoife had a CT scan and an MRI done in Tralee Hospital. She was then taken to Cork University Hospital on Friday to have the clot removed.
So she had a clot, and that clot was certainly there from the time of the initial stroke at 6 o'clock until they started to work on her in Cork University Hospital. What time was that arrival?
The time arrival in Cork would have been late Friday evening. And as she was going into surgery, the neurosurgeon did a contrast MRI, which is a more detailed MRI, I believe, and decided not to operate as it was more dangerous. As the blood flow to that part of the brain had stopped. Aoife was then returned to the stroke unit in Tralee on Friday, where she was there for 5 days. And since then, she's been getting speech therapy and occupational therapy.
Now, the protocol, that FAST protocol I mentioned, the first three are about symptoms, about, you know, knowing whether someone is likely to have had a stroke. But the last one, the T in FAST, is about time. And that's certainly something that was not delivered.
No, it was not. And what I did then is, when she got out, I emailed the HSE to complain about it, and I got no reply. So my next step was the local TD, who was Michael Healy-Rea, and I emailed him, and I got a phone call from him within about an hour saying that he was aware of the problem down in Kerry, that ambulances were very scarce on the ground there.
Now, how is Aoife today?
Aoife today is improving. All she's missing is the odd word when she's speaking. But our consultant said it will take time and speech therapy and occupational therapy to improve things.
But the possibility is, and it's only, I'm not a medical expert, but if she had got timely help, she might have got clot-busting drugs much earlier in this journey that she has to take. And you might not have had all of this worry and concern over a period of several days.
That's correct, Pat. And I believe they have a clot-busting drug which is given within 4 hours, and it can dissolve the clot in the brain.
Now, this was not your only contact with the health service. Tell me about what happened to you yourself.
Well, Pat, on December the 30th, 2021, I was feeling unwell all day. And at 10:30 p.m. that night, I fainted in the bedroom. My wife rang 999 for an ambulance, and it arrived within 10 minutes. The paramedics were excellent, and they said I could have internal bleeding and to go to the hospital. They took me to UL Hospital, and I was put on a trolley along with at least 30, if not more, people. My blood pressure and temperature was taken. Now, at 12 midnight, I was asked by an individual walking around with a clipboard if I had private insurance, and asked to sign a form in order to get a bid. So I informed him that our insurance policy was not to sign anything unless I was in a bid. So he told me if I did not sign it, I wouldn't be guaranteed any bid. So in the state I was in, I signed the form. After 16 hours on the trolley, I got a bid. Blood tests were done, and I had an endoscopy done. And I was told that I had bad bacteria in the gut and given an antibiotic and a drip. Now, I was in hospital for 5 days. Now, as soon as I got out of hospital, I went private, and I got an endoscopy and a colonoscopy done in the one day in Barrington's hospital. And within an hour, I was diagnosed with H. pylori, which is bad bacteria in the gut. My consultant put me on a course of antibiotics for the H. pylori, and I was halfway through that course when, in March, late March, a letter arrived from UL stating I had H. pylori and needed to make an appointment to go on a course of antibiotics to cure the infection.
So that infection, had it not been dealt with, might have run rampant in your system in the meantime. I mean, they got the diagnosis right, but it took them one heck of a long time.
That's correct, Pat, yes. And when I went private, I had that diagnosis within an hour of having that endoscopy and colonoscopy done. Yeah. And hopefully now the worst is over and we can look forward.
All right. And we know the problems in the University Hospital in Limerick, are well documented, and, you know, action has been promised to be taken there. Martina, will you tell me about your mother's experience?
My mum has recently waited for the entire night and early morning in the public hospital to get the suspected blood clot checked as well. She lives at the coast in the countryside, and so she always needs to factor in a few things before going to the hospital. For example, the driving time to the hospital, being Limerick or Galway, either of which is 1.5 hours away. The waiting time in the hospital, and the fact that she has a private business that essentially cannot be left unattended. So she chose to drive to the public hospital after she was told that the Galway Clinic emergency department, which she chose initially, closes at 5:30 p.m. when she was already on the road. So when she got to the hospital, she was initially told that the wait shouldn't be too long that evening, but the evening wait turned out to be 14 hours long until 9 a.m. when she finally got her blood done. And then she had to wait another hour and a half or so to get her results. And thankfully, the results were fine, but she was just so very tired and stressed, considering that she didn't sleep all night and waited in a cold emergency room. And as we all know, on not so comfortable chair.
Now, what was the symptom that persuaded her she should go to hospital in the first place? I mean, was she really concerned that there might be something serious wrong?
Yes. So she had a pain, strange pain in her leg for a day. And towards the evening after her work, she decided to go to a local Swift clinic when she was told that she should have it checked in the hospital. And so then she made a choice which hospital she drove to.
Yeah. Now, she ended up in the public hospital in Galway. And the issue would really be, they knew, I suppose, that they could not do bloods, although I'm sure there's normally someone in a hospital like that on call to do bloods, but they weren't going to do bloods on her overnight. Did they suggest to her that she might return home, get a good night's sleep, and then return when the laboratory technician would be available to do the bloods?
No, Pat. So she waited there until the morning, and that obviously would have been a better option. She potentially could have driven even back home and driven back again at, you know, for 9 a.m. Next day. But that wasn't the case. So she has waited there until the morning. And it's you know, that sort of experience where you don't know if to leave or to stay, because you just want to be seen and you want to have it resolved, especially when you have your own business and you need to go back to it in the morning. Mm. So you really are, you know, buying a ticket in the lottery as to whether you'd be seen or not at that point. Yeah, but just 14 hours waiting time shouldn't be a standard in our hospitals. Either way, doesn't matter if you're going there with a broken finger or with a suspected blood clot or with any other issue.
Martina, have you experience of health services in other countries?
I do, Pat, but I have a vague memory of an experience in Poland when I was born. I had quite good experience with the healthcare there. I suppose the system is quite different. And I suppose I've been to emergency department as a child, and I never had to wait that long.
Because people are often saying, you're complaining here, but it's just as bad in the NHS in England, particularly. But you know, in other systems, we've heard about Spain and so on, where people are triaged much more effectively and get treatment in a timely manner. So I'm just wondering, with Poland, for example, you can't tell today what it's like, but certainly years ago, it was much, much better than it is here.
Yes, and I suppose I had a brief experience as well in Germany where I caught my hand on the glass when I just fell on the ground. And I was admitted almost immediately into an emergency and taken care of. My previous experience here with an open wound wasn't as good. My sister found herself in an emergency on a New Year's Eve a few years back, and we had to wait with her. She was underage, so we were all very concerned. We had to wait with her almost the same waiting time as my mum has recently waited in Galway. I suppose this has been our experience so far in here, and we didn't have that much experience in other countries besides that single incident in Germany. In terms of Poland, I just remember I had a finger crushed on the car door as a child. I just did it to myself. And similarly to German hospital, I have been admitted very, very, very promptly. I think the waiting time was about an hour in the emergency department, or a maximum two. But that said, I'm not sure what the situation is there right now.
It seems to me that we have almost normalized these long waiting times of a dozen hours or more as being the acceptable norm, which clearly they are not.
Yes, and I think that the all-nighter in the emergency is just not a standard for Ireland, where, you know, this is a country with only that many citizens in a way, and with an amazing wealth present here, tech companies, property funds, etc. And so I think we should have the healthcare at the highest standard, and the waiting time in emergency rooms that offer, you know, those plastic chairs for 14 hours just shouldn't be the standard.
Martina and Con, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.